you know, I really don't know what these recordings are going to be good for. Because honestly, I don't think anybody's going to really listen to them very much. I mean, maybe they are. I mean, I proceed with the understanding that they will. If only my children listen to them when they get older, if I'm dead or something, if something happens to me, and they want to be able to know their dad a little bit better, that might be the whole reason I'm doing this, to kind of pass on whatever. I'd like to hope it was wisdom, knowledge, but maybe it's just more along the line of insanity, so they'll at least understand their dad, or maybe they'll just go, oh, my dad was just freaking insane. My name is Jay Nemro, and this is Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. I've been talking a lot about the kind of life to live, kind of things that I think are important, and my basic concern with our consumer society. It's worrisome because we're so married to it. I like to say bad things about my wife, so I won't. She's wonderful. She's a wonderful human being, but unfortunately, like almost everybody else in this world, she's a product of her society, she's a product of her upbringing. Her parents were very much typical. My parents were more typical than I am. We did what society taught us to do. Sent our kids to school. If it said that we needed to be concerned about putting our kids through college, that's what we did. If we were more concerned with any number of things, if we were affected by TV and what kind of attitudes it was trying to teach us, and that's the attitudes we learned, was what we were told. My wife is very much like that. You know, trying to get her to get out of the consumer life, and it's hard. I've got to tell you, what you have to give up in convenience for what I would consider to be freedom is very, very, very hard to do. Just to think, he said, you know what, I love tomatoes, as a for instance. I like tomatoes. I like tomatoes a lot. If my kids had their children, they would have tomatoes every single day of the week for the rest of their lives. They have to understand that if you choose to not pay for store-bought tomatoes because it costs too much or because you really don't have the money for them, you can only grow tomatoes at certain times of the year without extra equipment. You can make yourself a greenhouse or a hothouse, whatever, so that you can have tomatoes year-round. But, you know, that's going to cost a lot of money. You can downsize a bit and just say, well, we're only going to have tomatoes during the actual growing season, and you can just plant them in the ground and they grow up and you have tomatoes. You can do all that. That's a hard switch to make. We have become so attuned to the fact that all you have to do is go down to your neighborhood store and you have this cornucopia. It's somewhat unnatural because you could do that in the middle of winter when there is no food. There should be no food available except what you've got stored up. And it should only be the kinds of foods that you can easily store. We have produced for ourselves, and we've grown accustomed and almost demand kind of an unnatural system. We depend upon the fact that you can get tomatoes from somewhere where it's warm to somewhere where it's cold enough time before they spoil. There's a ton of money in doing that. Ton of money. And we're willing to shut up. It makes everything just cost a little bit more to be able to produce a constant supply of the stuff like people want to have. There's money to be made. It's half because we wanted it, and it's another half because other people made their money transporting this stuff around, and they want us to always have a constant desire for these things. If you would go back 60, 70, 80, probably only 100 years ago, or maybe a little bit further back, before we had the capacity to really can efficiently, can well, you know, to put things to can. That was the way it was. Everything was grown in season because there was no way you could do it any other way. You always had to store up the food that you wanted to eat for later. And you would eat, you know, during the summertime, you would eat gruel, you know, which was pretty much made up of some spices and a basic grain that stored well. You could store it for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And that's what you would do. I'm caught between two things. I've got this old state truck in front of me that's trying to turn down this forgotten road going nowhere. And I've got this poor trucker behind me that wants to do 100 miles an hour. And and I'm stuck here in the middle. Oh my goodness. I think I might actually make it to my destination in a decent amount of time. Okay. You know, 200 years ago, life was very, very different because before cans happened, before we could actually store food for long periods of time, we had other ways of doing it. You know, we had salt pork. You used to salt your pork, and you didn't have to refrigerate it. Of course, that was before refrigeration, too. We lived long, happy, prosperous lives back then. But it bears no relationship to what we can do today. Of course, people back then would be amazed at what we can do today. They would also, I think, be amazed by the price we pay for the convenience that we now demand. And that if we don't have it, damn be to everybody. There needs to be a law saying that this stuff can happen, because by golly, we will have our convenience. Oh, what an interesting world. That was why, you know, it's tempting to say, oh, I wish I lived back in those days, because, life was so wonderful. It wasn't. It was like it is now. It was different. It was different. There's different kinds of people. There were still cows, and we still depended upon the cow culture to make things happen. Cities depended upon the unwashed masses to make things work for those who are in charge. Those who are in charge needed a cheap, pretty much disposable workforce that they didn't have to care about. Took care of their own needs. I'm going to tell you about a trick that I pull in driving, because I really hate being tailed. I hate having anybody behind me much at all. And you know what I do? I find a long stretch where you can see that there's no cars coming, and I just turn off the cruise control and I slow down. It's kind of fun because you can see how slow a person will go before they figure out that they're going really slow. Now, I don't like doing it when I'm coming up on a hill, because it makes no sense to try to pass me coming up a hill, because it's just dangerous. I tried to give this guy enough time. Ooh, he's mad at me, too. He doesn't like the fact that I'm slowing down. But I'm going to do it because I want him to get around me. Sometimes I'll pull over, too, but it's much more fun to kind of play this game with people of just slowing down until they actually turn. I seem to recall somebody I had down to 30 miles an hour because they were cows. The kind of driver they were, they focused on the car in front of them. This happens a lot in big cities where there's constant traffic, where you're used to being wedged between two other cars. There's one right behind you, and then there's another one right in front of you. You know? And so, a lot of drivers are fixated on the butts of the person in front of them. It's the ultimate cow culture thing, and I'm doing it right now. This guy is crammed up my butt. All truckers do this. I have not met many truckers that don't pull this stunt. Their whole point is intimidation. They're big, and they're trying to get you to do something. But I'm trying to get him to do something. I'm trying to impress him just to get around me. Now he's going to get around me because he's mad. He knows I'm a crazy driver. He's honked at me. He's yelled at me. Now he's going to pull back over into my lane before I even get past him. Because he's that kind of a guy. He's thinking he's trying to teach me a lesson. That's the game you play. Because it really does bring out the cow. It brings out the cow in people. People really are kind of locked down into a little blinded life. You know, this is my life. This is what I do. This is all I can see. This is all I want to know. I see the rear end of your car. I'm going to keep myself a distance from your car. It's usually not far enough for me. I grew up in the middle of nowhere. I enjoy not having people around me all the time. I won't say that about my wife and about my kids. I enjoy my wife and I enjoy my kids. They're wonderful. Sometimes I need a little break from them. But I get that pretty naturally, so it's not a big deal. So I play this game, and it does. People really do. People tailgate almost by nature. I'm coming up on you, now I can't, and they never give a thought to passing you until it just makes them so angry to stay behind you. And I've been amazed at how slow you can get them to slow down before they realize that they're doing 25 or 30 miles an hour on a 60 mile an hour road. it's almost experimenting on rats because that's how they behave. They behave like rats. I do what I'm told. I'm doing what I'm doing. Because people say, I don't even know what the speed limit is in most places. I just do the speed that everybody else is doing. I pick my spot this far behind. That's exactly what's happening to me now. There's this car with a cowboy in it from, what's that, Minnesota? Are there cowboys in Minnesota? I don't know. Probably. It doesn't work very well on these little two-lane roads that have a lot of traffic on them. Yeah, I can slow them down to practically nothing. Oh, and they'll be insane trying to get out from around you. Because they figured out that they shouldn't be following you. But it takes some time. Because people are kind of conditioned to just going with the flow. That's probably the biggest thing that anybody needs to learn about any of this stuff is the importance of going with the flow. And that's what we're all taught from minute one to the end. My kids came home. My second daughter, she's 11 years old. She's just gotten herself into what we call middle school. She's in sixth grade. The sixth grade, the seventh grade, and the eighth grade are all clumped together in one school, so it's called middle school. Every 9 weeks after they give out the grades, they make a change. My wife thinks it's funny because they call the changes that get made the elective. But the funny thing is, for a sixth grader, you have no choice. There is no choice of elective. You go to an elective, and they assign it to you. It's like, why do you bother calling it an elective? It's not. It's just a class I don't have to take, but I have to because there's a certain number of class periods per day, and this 9 weeks, I'm going to this class, it's supposed to be the stuff that you take because you want to, although they've turned into stuff that you have to take whether you want it to or not. It's just like English and math. You take it whether you want to or not. It's like art and music and things like that, and it's just almost silly. It's crazy. It's not an elective at all. It's almost a part of the regular curriculum, just for the simple reason that you gotta go whether you want to or not. You have no choice. You say, I don't like music. I'm sorry, you gotta go to music. Why? Because it's your elective this 9 weeks. Anyway, she's upset because she doesn't know where she's supposed to go, and nobody's told her yet. And my oldest daughter, wisdom that she has at the grand old age of 15, she told her to just go with the flow. Because anytime I'm ever confused, or I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do, I just do what everybody else is doing. And you know what? Honestly, that's true. That's what everybody does. If you don't quite know what to do, you just go with the flow. You know, don't ask questions, because if you ask questions, you look like a dummy. Everybody looks at you funny and goes, boy, are they stupid. Don't they know you're supposed to go with the flow? The only problem is going with the flow is exactly what gets us into these messes that we get into. That's why every girl wants to look like Paris Hilton. That's why every boy wants to be Ben Affleck or somebody like that. That's why, because we all just kind of go with the flow. Or cows. Cows go with the flow. They do whatever they see the other cows doing. And they do it right up until they see that there's somebody with a kill gun in their hand that's going to turn them into a steak. But then it's too late, because you're already there. You already put yourself in the situation of just being a dang follower. So, and they've set up the whole system so that there's no way to escape. You don't see cows breaking out at that vital moment when you find that out. They're already in the chute. The guys behind them are pushing forward because they want to get to where everybody else is going, not knowing that the line stops at some point, or at least the cow does never progress on under their own power, because they're dead. Because they've already started the process of getting skinned and becoming steaks or hamburger meat. That's what happens to all of us if we're not careful. We get sucked into this whole thing. I'm just following. I'm just going with the flow. Going with the flow. And marketers, almost everybody who's in power, that's what they want you to do. Because then you're predictable. If they can get one person to make that change, they know a million other people who are following in line behind that person. They'll do it too. If Paris Hilton has an iPod, they know there's a million other people that want that iPod too. Why? Because Paris Hilton has one. Apple Computer will give her a free one and tell her to pose on a runway with the iPod. They'll pay her millions of dollars to do it because they know they'll make so much more money after people see Paris Hilton on the runway listening to an iPod. She might not even know what an iPod is. I would doubt that she even has the capability of using it. She probably has to have an assistant come in and press the buttons because it's just not simple enough for her. That's okay. She's powerful. She is a cultural icon. And there's 2,000-3,000 other girls who will do exactly what Paris Hilton does. And it flows down because we all go with the flow. What I'm saying in all these things, in all these podcasts, is there is a great amount of happiness. There's a great amount of life that can be derived by not going with the flow. Everybody says, well, come back to reality, James. Well, I know that what Paris Hilton does, what it says in the Star magazine or in People, is our culture's reality. I understand that. I'm not saying it's fake, it's real. People make real money answering those kinds of needs. They really do. That's how we get rich. That's why people do what the culture says. Because that's the way we've set things up to work. It might not, when you analyze it, it might not make much sense, but it's reality. You know, how come Rush Limbaugh, who's a guy who just jabbers his jaw all the time, and I'm not saying he's a stupid man, but there's a lot of people that aren't stupid. How come he's rich and now famous, and how come other people who jack their jaw just as much and have just as much to say don't make as much money as he does? Well, it's because somebody who handles Rush, or Rush himself, has a keen observation of this culture, and he doesn't fight it. He uses it to his advantage. That's fine. I'm not really fighting our culture either. I'm just divorcing myself from it. I'm not interested particularly in getting ahead the way culture says it's the most important way to get ahead. Everybody, a whole lot of people say that our culture today is bankrupt, and I'd have to say that to a certain degree that's true. You know, when people say, we have no values, you go, well, of course not. We're married to rich, popular people. Rich, popular people don't have values. Their whole thing is, how can I get people to do what I want? How can I stay in the limelight long enough that I can get rich so that when I'm ugly or old or dumpy and people don't care about me, it just doesn't matter because I'm already loaded. Because I do it because I get other people to do what I want them to do right now because they want to be like me. Or because I can take advantage of the cow mentality. A whole lot of people do. That's why we really like cows. That's why the rich and powerful do not put their kids in public schools. There's a few more reasons, but the biggest one I think is so that they don't become cows, because then they'll become victims. We're all just a bunch of victims, or many people are. I try not to be. Although I do feel like a victim, I've got a house that I think I'm paying too much money for. I've got a lifestyle that I don't really want to keep up with. I live in a place where I feel constrained by a whole lot of people around me. My biggest problem is I'm far too kind to other people. They're not kind to me. You know? They don't take what I want into consideration. It's all about what they want. I have a neighbor next door who has a dog. And for a long time, the dog really scared and made my children's life miserable because it would snarl and snap, and there was whole sections of my backyard that my kids couldn't even play in because this dog would just go rabid if they even got close. My neighbor blamed me up and down for making this dog that way, and that this dog is wonderful to everybody else. We since found out that he's actually a pretty good dog, as long as you don't mess with him in his backyard. His backyard's his domain. Unfortunately, my kids were held hostage for years by this dang dog. I would go over and talk to my neighbor and say, we've got to do something about the dog. We've got to do something about the dog. And he would say, well, he would accuse me of everything. He would trump up stories. He would make up stories. Sometimes he'd videotape my kids abusing his dog. I'm sorry. I swear up and down it's a bunch of garbage. Absolute freaking garbage. He was lying to me. But he wanted to have a dog. And he wasn't going to have anybody else do anything about his dog. So you know what? He kept me hostage. There was days when I would come home from work or from anything else, and I'd say, I want to move. I want to move away because I want to move away from that neighbor, because you know what? There's a whole bunch of things I can't do because of his dog. Because I'm supposed to be here catering to his dog's needs. His dog wants to be able to lay over the fence between us and scare my kids. Now, I don't know what reason there was. I don't know if my kids caused it. I don't know if his dog did. I didn't care. I just wanted to end. I want to have a little control over my life. And I didn't. Other people knew that they had me over a barrel. That they could just say, See, I'm an honest person. I try to be nice. And I'm going to use a word I hate, fair. I try to put myself in another person's shoes and try to be kind to them. Which I guess is my mistake. Because other people take advantage of me constantly. Sometimes I get tired of it. I just want to be a mean, nasty person. But I can't do it for very long without feeling bad. So I go back to being nice. Everybody gets to take advantage of Jay. All of my neighbors, and I'm always worried about how my neighbors feel about me. I've gotten better that I don't do that much anymore. Oh, time's up again. Oh boy, time to switch over. Everybody have a great day. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. I'm Jay Nebro. Stay tuned for next time.